Ladies and gentlemen, we can do better than that. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Wow. Amen. How many of us were blessed by that ministration? God be the glory. Amen. Tonight is going to be good. Amen. It's already glorious. Amen. And I know that Bible says the pathway of a just man will shine brighter and brighter. So every day is getting better. Amen. And I want to assure you that God is not through with you yet. Tell somebody God is not through with you yet. And then tell you, say, God is not finished with me yet. Say, I'm still a work in progress. So learn to live with me. Say, tolerate me. Because I know where I'm going. Amen. Tonight, I wouldn't want to waste the time we have a special guest to be sharing the word with us. The first time I met him was the first time I heard about him was from my wife. You know, she said to me, she said, after all, you know, you're not that crazy as you think you are, because the way you are thinking is very different. Say, I met somebody today that thinks closely, almost like the way you think. I think you need to meet him. I said, no. I said, because it got to a stage I felt I was, what I was thinking, I thought I was going crazy. You know, and because I felt this is the way ministry should be, this is the way things should be. But she said to me, I've met someone today, said, you need to. And she kept on telling me, you need to. She did that for a long time before I decided to. You know, when I met Reverend Sam, I saw that I was not really crazy. You know, I saw that the thinking has to change if ministry has to change. You know, I saw that the old way of doing things in Nigeria, God needs to change our thinking, needs to take our thoughts up. You know, and as a man that believes in excellence, intelligence, and as a man, when you talk about excellence, he said to me, if you've been to their new facility, the facility they have, he said, we saw that Nigerians, most of our people have never been abroad. So we decided to bring abroad to them in Nigeria here. Because if you get to that facility, you see, you think you're out of Nigeria. You know, the way the things are run, the way the things are done. He said, we need to upgrade our thinking. I think he said to me, he said, when the governor came, he told him that. He said, how did you get all this done? He says, since we saw that we could not bring, we can't take them abroad. So we decided to show them what excellence could be, what Nigeria could be. And I look forward to a new Nigeria. Amen? Pastor Gwenge Funtari was sharing today. He said, Nigeria is blessed. Is that not the title? Nigeria is what? Nigeria is blessed. There's blessing in this land, yes. So the title was, there's blessing in Nigeria. Amen. Tell somebody there's blessing in Nigeria. Say there's blessing in this land. And I want to let you know tonight that the blessing, because you are a carrier of the blessing, therefore this Nigeria is a blessed nation. It's just a matter of time. It's just what? A matter of time. Martin Luther King Jr. said, he has seen the glory, he has seen the dream. He's not sure whether I will see it, but I am sure I'm going to see it. Amen? It's just a matter of time. Tell you what, it's just a matter of time. Say, the Lord is going to change this country. But the good news is that he's not going to change it until we change. So tonight, I want to thank God for Reverend Sam. He's a very humble man, and God has used him. He's one of the first Nigerian ministry to be on. Many of us watched Daystar. Yeah, he's on Daystar International. But he's also on What Network? Let's put the hands together for that. You know, he said, my calling is to minister to black people and help them change their things. So anywhere they are, I will look for them. You know, anywhere they are, I will look for them. And I'm telling you, you need to see. You know, the other time I said, we only want to work with people that have proofs. Amen? When you get to that street, you have these ties. You know, this star kept on just, they are expanding. They are going to buy the whole streets. They bought some, but they're going to buy the whole place. As we are going to buy this whole street. Amen? Amen. We have started. We are buying it gradually. Amen. I know Lekki is expensive, but with God, it's a small change. Amen. So God is a good God. Let's put our hands together for Reverend Sam Adeyemi as he comes to share the word with us. That's the presiding pastor, the senior pastor for Daystar Christian Center, Lagos. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. I sense like someone is very expectant here tonight. I know I am here on appointment with destiny. There's someone here. God brought me all the way because there's someone here. You will arise and have mercy upon Zion because the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. There's someone here. God sent me to announce a new season in your life. So I have a feeling that person already knows himself or herself. If you're sure you're the one, tell someone close by, he's talking about me. If I shout in this place tonight, you have to excuse me. But this is about me. Amen. Please do have your seats. God bless you. Hallelujah. I thank God for Pastor Buki and his lovely wife and their family. And I celebrate God's grace on their lives. Sure, you know you have the best pastors in the world. Or maybe you don't really, really know. Let's appreciate them, please. Amen. God's grace is so evident on their lives. We thank God. Pastor Benga, it's nice to see you again after quite a while. I thank God for all of our ministers ministering in this conference. I thank God for all of our pastors, especially in this church and from all of our branches. Oh my God, your choir is something else. I was asking Pastor Buki, where did you get that lady from? You better be careful or else. We will deport her. I bring greetings from my beautiful wife. And from our church family in Daystar Christian Center. I'm not going to be long. I know I came to prophesy, that's all. I know you have very powerful teachers in the house, so I will not try to preach a very powerful sermon. I'll just prophesy. Amen. When God wants to do something, He says it. Amen. He says it. And from the moment the word goes forth, you have to appreciate the fact that there is creative power in His word. And through the instrumentality of His word, He brings into existence what has never been in existence before. So someone here is going to see something new. I came to announce a change of status for someone. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' name we thank you. I ask that you put your word in my heart and that you teach my lips to speak these words with accuracy. I ask you to honor your word. And so, Lord, we thank you because in this house tonight there is salvation. There is healing. There is deliverance from every form of oppression. I stand by the grace of God on my life to declare that every curse is broken because of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We receive the power of blessing in Jesus' name. Right, I'll title this Secrets of the Blessed Man. Secrets of the Blessed Man. It's a very simple one from Psalm 1. I know it's a passage of scripture that you know very well. Psalm 1, I read from verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Blessed is the man. Who is the man we're talking about here? I have a feeling that actually that psalm should read, blessed is Sam. You know, in the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says blessed, bracket open, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable, bracket closed, is the man. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to be empowered, equipped by God to prosper, to flourish, to do well. So yeah, the Amplified Bible says that when you are blessed, you are happy. Amen. Happy is the man. When you are blessed, you are happy. It means that things will happen in your favor. Happiness is a product of happenings. And I'm sure you know that as a believer, it goes even a step beyond that. You have access to joy. And joy is internal. So it doesn't depend on the circumstances. Whether things work out or they don't work out, you're positive all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you're blessed, it means you're happy and it means that you are joyful. Amen. When you are blessed, God gives you His perspective to situations and circumstances. You see things the way God sees them. And I tell you, God has no capacity for anxiety. I know that many of us here like to watch football. Yeah. Especially the English Premier League. Yeah. I know we have in here some fans of Manchester United and Manchester City and Chelsea. Don't let's start a war here. Some Arsenal fans are protesting. All right. But, you know, I like to ask a question. How does God watch a football match? Must be boring, isn't it? Why? He knows the result before the kickoff. Woo! See, we watch a football match. Sometimes, you know, I'm watching a football match and I'm shouting. And my wife is wondering, what's going on? Hello, man of God. And you need to know how we Nigerians watch football matches. We watch under the anointing. We're busy pleading the blood of Jesus that ball is not going into that goalpost. But then, you know what it's like when you're watching a replay? You know the result already, isn't it? Okay, you know that the match ended 3-2 in favor of your team. But then, here you are watching the match, and at the start, it's 2-0 against your team. And it's already 80 minutes into the match. And on a normal day, if it was live, you would be very, very apprehensive. 2-0 against your team. But you know what? You know the result already. So let them play everything they know how to play. It means that the last 10 minutes or so, the 3 goals are still coming. Amen? Good. That's the way God watches a football match. He has no capacity for anxiety. So what happens is, when God speaks to you about your situation, you know the result even before anything begins. That's what we call faith. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The moment God speaks to you about the situation, He imparts what He knows about the situation into your heart. So you see it the way God sees it. Then you lose the capacity for anxiety. Hallelujah. So when you are blessed, you're not moved by situations and circumstances, because they always work in your favor anyway. I love what happened in 2 Kings chapter 6. If you read down from verse 13, when the king of Syria sent a battalion of soldiers to arrest Elisha. The servant of Elisha woke up in the morning and saw all those soldiers surrounding the city. He screamed, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Elisha came out, saw exactly what the young man saw, and said, "Calm down, man. Fear not. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." I can imagine the young man saying, "Sir, what did you say?" 1, 2. Let me count it the other way. 1, 2. Only 2 of us, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 100, 200, 300. Oh my God. And my mom told me not to follow this man. This prophet of a man. And then, you know what Elisha did? He prayed. Now, if you were the one, what would you have done? If you pray, what would have been your prayer point? You know what Elisha did? He didn't even pray about those soldiers. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see two people in the same situation seeing two different things. Open his eyes. The problem is not the problem. The problem is how you see the problem. Okay? Open his eyes. Let him see. The Bible says, and the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You see, the solution was right there beside the problem. Amen. Hey, that suggests to me that some of our prayer points are wasted. Some of our prayers are wasted. Some of our prayer points are needless. You're praying about something God's already done. So that one doesn't answer to prayer. It answers to open eyes. So instead of praying, hey, Satan, shata, kata, kata, kata. Hey, I bind you. I cast you out. Calm down. Hallelujah. Ask God to open your eyes. There is more to the situation than you see. So when you see the way God sees, you're calm. You're happy. You're joyful. People expect you to be crazy because everything seems to be going crazy around your life. But you need to disappoint them because you're a blessed man. Whichever way it goes, this thing is going to work in your favor. Blessed, happy is the man and the woman too. The second word there is fortunate. Fortunate. Now you need to know, when you're fortunate, it means that things always work out in your favor. Always work out right for you. The world calls it being lucky. But the point about luck is that it's about chance. But when you are fortunate, it works for you 100 times out of 100. Hallelujah. When I was young, you know, my dad, who wasn't saved then, when he was leaving, while he was driving out of the house, he met four men or two men coming from the opposite direction, he would say, come on. That means this journey is going to be fruitful. Things are going to work. But if he met a woman, he would say, what's this? And then if he met four women, he would say, come on. Doesn't look like this is going to work out. You know, for some people, it's how they hit their leg. If they hit the left leg on a stone, then it means there's going to be a problem. If they hit the right leg on a stone, then it means things are going to work out right. Excuse me, when you are blessed, whether you hit the left leg or you hit the right leg, things are going to work out right for you. That's what it means to be fortunate. Because it's God involved in your affairs. Happy, fortunate, prosperous. Prosperous. Hallelujah. Prosperous. See, when you are blessed, whatever you touch, heaven will touch it on your behalf. When you show up somewhere, you're not the only one showing up. That's an invisible person showing up. You are in a covenant with God. When you're in a blood covenant relationship, your life is mixed with that of the person you're in a blood covenant relationship with. God blessed Abraham. And then Abraham was asking God in Genesis 15, how is this thing going to work? And God said, don't worry. You just take some animals, slice them in halves, and put them apart. You do your part. Walk through. I'm going to come down. And then somewhere along the line, this burning torch came and passed through. Because that was how one of the ways they cut covenants in those days. God cut a covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 17, then God told him, in fact, it's not the blood of animals, now it's yours. You and every male in your family, circumcise yourselves, let the blood flow. See, when you're in a blood covenant relationship, you mix your blood with that of the person you're in a covenant with, and it means that your two lives are now one. Oh my God. Usually, a weak tribe would enter into a covenant with a strong tribe. A weak person would enter into a covenant with a strong person, so you can have protection. And it means also that your life is now mixed with that of the person. So everything that belongs to the person belongs to you whenever you need it. Whatever threatens your life is threatening the other person's life. What the person will do to protect his life, he must do to protect your life. Can you imagine God asking for human beings to now come into such a relationship with him? Instantly, your status changes. Instantly, your status changes. I mean, you and God are one. You know what I observed there from Genesis 17? Abraham's descendants, you know, God said they should circumcise the male on the eighth day. And you know, the eighth day was the day they named the child. So the naming ceremony for them was more than just a social engagement. It was a covenant rite. It was an initiation of the child into the covenant that the parents had with God. So what I observed was that from that moment onwards, when Abraham and his descendants named their children, they put God's name in the children's names. Yes. So you would see El. You would see Jah or Jehovah in their names. That was God. When you called them, you were calling two people. One will respond to you in the physical, the other one will respond to you in the spirit. Hallelujah. So when you say someone is Emmanuel, the L there is God's name, God with us. Hallelujah. Israel. I don't know what Isaac was thinking when he named his twins Esau and Jacob, named them by the circumstances of their birth. One came out that was hair on his body, he named him Esau. The present day equivalent is Henry. Harry. And then the other one, because he was struggling to come out and seemed to be a schemer, he named him Jacob. Clever guy. Schemer, so to speak. That was a big mistake. You don't name your children after circumstances of their birth. You name them after their destinies. And God had revealed what they were supposed to be. He said, two nations are in your womb. So if they were not creative enough to find any names, they should have named them Nation 1 and Nation 2. So the day God would change Jacob's story, you know what he said? He asked him a question, what is your name? He said, Jacob. So that's where we have to start from. You were misnamed. From today, your name is Israel, a prince with God. Hallelujah! The son of God. And you know, he was afraid that Esau was going to kill him. When Esau saw him, Esau ran towards him and kissed him. The person Esau wanted to kill was dead. There was a new person now whose life was one with God's life. Hallelujah! You can't kill him. You can't kill him. You can't kill God. Oh my God. You know, Elim Elek, my God is king. Elisha, my God is salvation. I love Elijah. Two of God's name in one name. El and Jah. That's powerful. That's powerful. My God is Jehovah. So, you call such a child's name in school. Okay? One person will respond to you physically. The other one will respond spiritually. You know, when I was in school in those days, they called your name, you said, present, sir. Two people will respond to you. There are names you can't take to the herbalist's house. They will terminate the ministry of the herbalist. Some people are afraid. Oh, they said they took my name somewhere. Oh, they said they chanted incantation. Oh, they said when they have water in a bowl or calabash, when they look inside it and they call your name, if your face shows up there, then you are dead. If you call my name, you call the name of a covenant child of God, and you look into a bowl of water, you won't like what you will see there, I'm telling you. You won't like what you're going to see. So the secret is that whatever you do, it's you and God doing it. Whatever you say, God said it. Hallelujah. Wherever you show up, God's presence shows up there with you. If you really understand what it means for you to be blessed, you'll not be afraid 1 second of your life. You know, in our part of the world, we like to shiver, you know, in the presence of people who have power, transient power. But you need to understand who you are. And yes, we have a lot of respect for people who drive through traffic, caught through traffic with the siren, and then we feel inferior. I wish you knew that he would give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. When you were coming here today, there were secret service agents who came ahead of you. When you enter into a room, they are ahead before you. They're busy scanning around. If anybody's planning to hurt you, they'll blow the person's head off. I wish you understood that. Amen. I wish you knew that. You'd carry yourself with some gait, with your shoulders square. You would sit down a little better, you know, like a royalty. Amen. Prosperous is the man. And then he says, and enviable. That's it. I've not seen any sane person who envied a failure. It means you're successful. When you are blessed, you're successful. You're a model. All right. One man was blessed in Genesis 26. His name was Isaac. They said it was a time of famine. And he was going down to Egypt. When he got to Gerar, God said, you stay here. Your father Abraham obeyed my voice. If you obey my voice, I will bless you. Stay here. So he obeyed God's instruction. He planted that year like everybody else. But the Bible says that he brought forth 100-fold. Because there was some spiritual, supernatural involvement in his crops. Brought forth in abundance. And the Bible says that, that's Genesis 26 verse 12. And then in verse 13, the Bible says that God blessed him, that he prospered and went on prospering until he became very prosperous. It says, and the Philistines envied him. Yes. You know, in Mark 10, Jesus said, anyone who gives anything, lands, houses, brothers, sisters, whatever for my sake and the gospel's sake, he will receive in this world 100-fold with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Somebody is going to get angry very soon. Because it will seem like you're not working, yet you're getting all the results. They'll see themselves working harder than you're working, struggling more than you're struggling, yet they'll wonder why your results are better than theirs. It's the power of the blessing. Hallelujah. So it says you're prosperous, and it says you are enviable. Someone here tonight is becoming an object of envy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There's someone here, they've not reckoned with you in the family. Because what they reckon with is money. The one with money is the older one. Olowo lagba. Hallelujah. Those who mocked you in that family, very soon they will not be able to do without you. The days of shame are over. In that same family, you're becoming the reference point. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So blessed is the man. And then, the first thing the Bible addresses is his association. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Very interesting. There's power in association. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will be wise, the companion of fools will be destroyed. The people who influence your thinking the most influence your life the most. That's an exercise I usually ask people to carry out. Write down the names of the 7 people closest to you. If you're married, your spouse first. If you have children, just write children on the second slot. Don't let them take up all the space. Just write children. and then fill up the other five spaces. The people who are closest to you, people whose counsel or whose advice you listen to. And I tell people, just leave that sheet of paper, look at it, and you are looking at your future. The quality of your life is not likely to be better than the quality of the lives of the people on that list. It's not a curse, it's a law. It's a law. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So it's not just that he's not walking with the ungodly, their counsel, their advice. Who are you listening to? Who's talking to you? Whose advice are you taking? That's what we're talking about. You know what I observed? Poor people like to listen to poor people like themselves. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's just, you know why? It's more convenient for a poor person to listen to another poor person. Because they get a lot of sympathy. When you listen to rich people, they stretch your mind. They put you under pressure. They mention amounts of money that put you under stress. I was in a conversation like that several years ago. You know, we went for a minister's meeting, and it was just after the minister's meeting, and I was with these two ministers who were much older than I was. And you know, they also were businessmen. They had a lot of investments. And they began to talk about their investments. Oh my God. At a time when my salary was, how much was it? I think 4,000 naira a month. And this person spoke about, you know, the property that he bought. Said he got a loan in 1970, wherever, from a bank. $500,000 naira, 500,000 naira in the 70s. Said he built that property, and he said, you know, I sold it, you know, I sold it for, how much did he say? 22 million naira or so. And he said, you know, then I built this other property, and recently I sold it for 45 million naira. I said my salary was 4,000 naira. The other one said, oh, you know, my property, this other property in this part of Lagos, Yaba, he said I sold it for 17 million naira, you know, and I thought to myself, I came to the wrong place today. Oh my God, I was smiling and I was nodding. I'm telling you, that was beyond my league. That was not my league at all. Oh my God, I had nothing to contribute to that discussion. But looking back today, I'm glad that I sat down there. Hallelujah. Because if the millions don't enter your thinking, they can't enter your account. That's how it works. As it works, 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what? Your soul prospers. Soul prosperity comes first. Soul prosperity comes first before physical and material prosperity. So he's talking about the counsel of the ungodly. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. Mockers. People who see someone doing well, and instead of walking up to the person and asking, how are you doing it? They sit down somewhere, they say, don't mind him. Nonsense. I know his secrets. There are people who talk like that around here. They say, don't mind him, I know his secret. You're lying through the teeth. If you knew his secret, you would have produced the same result a long time ago. You know nothing. Association. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Listen, it's not the good manners that corrupt or that, you know, change the evil communication. The evil communication corrupts the good manners. You've got to be careful about your association. So what am I suggesting? You look at that list that you have. Change one name there and you can change your status. Change one name there, you can change the direction of your life. But, you know, we're a society that is strongly connected socially. And that's a big plus. Where we connect very well. But sometimes we take it to the extreme. We're very sentimental. So we do not want to cut away friendships. We do not want to, you know, do away with relationships. We're always asking ourselves, what are they going to say? We've been friends for 20 years. We've been friends for 25 years. So the person would say, oh, that it's because I got a promotion. That's why I'm now being proud. That's what they will say. you know what? Whatever you do, they'll say. If you succeed, they'll say. If you fail, they'll say. But the wisdom that we need to have is the fact that there is a time for everything. According to Ecclesiastes 3:1, some relationships are seasonal. Amen. Some relationships are for life. Some relationships are seasonal. And we need to have enough wisdom to know when the season for a relationship is over, don't hold on to it. It won't pay you. It won't pay the other person. Okay? I studied civil engineering in school, and I know that at different stages in the development of a building or a structure, you have different kinds of workmen who come. The people who come when you are digging the foundations, you don't need them when you are doing your finishing. Those people who do foundation, they do rough work. The equipment that they use are rough. Amen. They're hard. They're tough. But when you are doing finishing, you don't bring those diggers. You'll pull down exactly what you were building. This time you come with finesse. You come with details. Fine people who do fine details. So, the fact that, I'm not working with the digger anymore is not a vote of no confidence on the life of the digger. It's just that digger is supposed to move to somewhere else and to also dig the foundation for another project. Some people are like scaffolding in our lives. You know, you need scaffolding to be able to paint or to plaster, especially on a high building. But then when you're done with the plastering and the painting, if you leave the scaffolding there, you won't even be able to appreciate the beauty of what the scaffolding helped you to do. You need to remove the scaffolding, isn't it? And go put it on another project. Hallelujah. That's how it works sometimes. So it's not a matter of sentiment. You know, one of my mentors told me one day, he said, you can't afford to be sentimental. You need to be sensitive to your destiny. Life is in seasons. Amen. All right, so the association really, really matters. The blessed man, if his blessings will find expression, if the blessings will manifest, needs to watch his or her association. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. Help me to ask your neighbor, how are you and the word? Woo. The most powerful resource in the universe is revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, if you knew that, like David did, he said, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. Psalm 119, verse 162. You know that when I get a revelation, it's like I hit a jackpot. I get excited. Hallelujah. That's what David was saying. Jeremiah 15:16. Oh Lord, your words were found, and I ate them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I am called by your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation. Revelation. I was doing a research several years ago when I began to teach our church members to do entrepreneurship, to start and run businesses. It's the fastest way for you to create wealth. Then they came back and said, how do we get capital? That's the problem. No capital. Capital. And I said, oh my God, I've got to resolve this capital thing. And when I want to resolve issues, I go into the Bible. Amen. And especially, I read Genesis chapters 1 and 2. I call them the two perfect chapters of the Bible. Yeah. No devil. No Satan. No sin. Chapter 3, devil shows up. Everything goes upside down. And for the rest of the Bible, God is trying to get us back to chapters 1 and 2. So I went to Genesis 1. What was I trying to find? How much capital did God have when he was going to create the earth? You only want to start a business. You want to rent a shop. God wanted to create the whole world. How much capital did he have? So I went to Genesis 1, and I didn't find money there. I didn't find that God started with money. I said, oh my God, what is this? What is this? Oh, Eve. Then I said, if it is the absence of money that makes a man poor, it means God was broke. But you know he was not. He created everything anyway. So I came to the conclusion that it is not the absence of money that makes a man poor. Hallelujah. I said, God used something. When whatever it is that he used, if I find it, then I know I can never be poor again the rest of my life. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So I went to look for it. It was while I was meditating on Genesis chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit just flashed in my spirit Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Woo! The things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. So I paraphrased it. The raw materials with which God created this material world were intangible raw materials. Does it say the same thing as the Bible? The things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. The raw materials with which God created this material world were intangible raw materials. So I said to myself, if I can have access to those raw materials, then I become a creator on this planet. Hallelujah. I said, what was it? Oh, it's in the first part of the verse, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know that the Bible says in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, amen, and there was light. And all through, and God said 11 times, and God said, and God said, and God said, and there was. So I said, that's it. It's the word of God. And I said, but Lord, I don't like to use Christian cliches without understanding what they really mean. What is the word of God? Where does the word of God come from? As I was meditating on that, the Holy Spirit said to me, the word of God is a product of the thought of God. I said, oh my God, thought of God? I said, no, but there was no mention of thoughts in Genesis 1. There was no mention of thoughts. So I went to Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Spirit said, it's there. I said, there's no way it's written that God was thinking. He said, read it. So I read from verse 2. And the earth was without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, I said, that's it, Lord. There's no thinking there. He said, read it again. I read it again. He said, read it slowly this time. So I read it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And then I saw it. Why was God talking about light? They said the whole place was dark. They said darkness covered the face of the deep. God called out the light because that was what he saw in his mind. In the physical, there was darkness. But in his mind, he saw light. He saw more than that. He saw rivers, oceans, seas, lakes. He saw mountains, he saw valleys, he saw plants, he saw animals, some crawling on the ground, some swimming in the ocean, some flying in the sky. What he saw in his mind was what he said, called out, and ultimately created. Hallelujah. So, the basic raw material for creating anything is revelation. Hallelujah. You know, I discovered that many people don't know how God answers their prayers when they ask for money. They don't spend naira in heaven. They don't spend dollars in heaven. They don't spend pound sterling or Japanese yen or the euro in heaven. So when you ask God for 100,000 naira, they don't spend, and God doesn't produce any counterfeits. What he gives you is the currency that they spend in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. You ask your brother who lives in Germany to give you 100,000 naira. They don't spend naira in Germany. They spend euro. So he gives you euro. Because the euro is a convertible currency. Hallelujah. So he gives you euro that is equivalent to 100,000 naira. Then you convert it to the naira you want. So it's the same thing when you ask God for 100,000 naira. They don't spend naira in heaven. He gives you the currency of heaven. Hallelujah. The currency of heaven is what? Revelation. Why? Because revelation is convertible currency. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh. Hallelujah. The invisible became visible. The intangible became tangible. The word is convertible currency. So that's why he says, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So what happens there? The water goes into the tree. The nutrients go into the tree. You don't see them while they are going in. Amen? You don't see the nutrients. You don't see the water while it's going in. But you see the result. So when you are smart, you maintain your connection with the supernatural. It is what passes from God to you that causes the fruits to come out of you. You remember what Jesus said in John 15? I am the vine, you are only branches. Oh yes, the one that bears fruit, we trim it. The one that does not bear fruit, we cut it. You know, one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me from John 15. He said, have you ever been under a tree only to hear the tree groaning to bring out fruit? Then the mango comes out. Ever seen such a thing? Oh no. So the Holy Spirit said to me, So when the Holy Spirit asked me that question, I said, no, I've never had such a thing. He said, that's it. It looks like these trees are smarter than some of you human beings. He said, because I gave you the power of movement. You never stay with anything long enough to bear fruit. He said, these trees are wise. They stay where I put them. They have enough sense to know that life runs in seasons. When it's a dry season, they drop their leaves because they want to conserve, you know, their moisture. But then during the dry season, they grow their roots downward so that they can be in connection with the water table. When the right season comes, they know the fruit is going to come out. So he said, I'm the vine, you are only a branch. It is what flows from me to you that causes the fruit to come out of you. I said, oh my God, what flows from you to me? He said, if my word abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit. That's what the passage says. He said, it's the revelation. He said, don't envy somebody else's fruit. And now be struggling to produce the same thing. He said, did you hear what they had? Did you hear what they had from me? Did you seek me the way they sought me? He said, it is what flows from me that causes the fruit to come out of you. Hallelujah. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does what? He meditates. Meditation is deep thinking. Thinking so deeply, you forget about the world around you. Wisdom should tell you that it is in the realm of thought that you connect with God. You can't touch him with your five senses. You can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't feel him, you can't taste him. Amen. You can't smell him. It's only in the realm of thought that you connect with the realm of the supernatural. And smart people in the Bible knew that. I'm not surprised that Isaac's crops brought forth in abundance, because in Genesis 24 verse 63, the Bible says that Isaac went out in the evening. He went out to the field in the evening to meditate. So people in Bible days had meditation on their to-do list for the day. We're so busy, we don't think. We're so busy, we have no time to stay in connection with the water source. Hallelujah. With the source of the nutrient. See, our definition of hard work needs to change, especially in our part of the world, because it is physical exertion. It's the person who is sweating that is working hard. Yeah, that's a part of it, but the more important part of hard work is internal. When Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues that control your life. It has to happen inside first before it happens on the outside. So you need to spend time in God's presence and let Him sow seeds in your spirit. When the seed of the word comes into your spirit, it impregnates you with a miracle. Hallelujah. From that moment onwards, you nurture God's word and nurture it and nurture it until the physical manifestation bursts forth in your life. When God gives you a revelation, He gave you the money. He gave you the car. He gave you the husband, gave you the wife, gave you the baby. But because some Christians don't know that's how God works, they pray. When God gives them a revelation, they don't realize that's the answer to their prayer. They're still looking for the 100,000 until they see 100,000 naira cash. Physical. They don't believe that God has answered their prayers. And I think the devil cheats many of us that way. Because then we come to church, we shout, yeah, that's right, pastor, preach it, that's right. Oh my God, that was powerful. But the moment you step outside, Satan knows if he steals the seed, he stole your money. Satan knows that when he steals your revelation, he stole the money. From today, you will not have abortion of vision anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In His law does He meditate day and night. Oh my God, I love this passage of scripture. I could stay on it all night. But I've got to let you go. Meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. You know, I used to think that meant that you read the Bible a little bit in the morning and you read the Bible a little bit in the night. And then one day the Holy Spirit said to me, it's more than that. Day is all the time the sun is up. Night is all the time that it is dark. He said, I'm asking you to process everything you go through the word. Amen. So before you make your decision, before you speak a word, before you get into your spirit, you contact with the Holy Spirit. You want to find out, what does the word of God say about that? Someone just cursed you. Said you'll never prosper the rest of your life. I'm the one you're talking to like that. And the person curses you. Before you respond, process it to the word. What did Jesus say? Bless them that curse you. Hallelujah. And let me say something about curses. Because some of us are really, really afraid of curses in our culture. There's a strong fear of witches and wizards and sorcery and black magic. But you know what I say about the witches? To hell with all the witches in Lagos. See, you couldn't even say a strong amen. Because you're wondering if I want to kill myself. Woo! Listen, I'm in a covenant with God. So what's a witch going to do with me? Do you understand the position of a witch in Satan's hierarchy? A witch. You read Ephesians 6 verse 12. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Where are the witches? So in Satan's hierarchy, that's you have Satan and then you have those four classifications before you come down to the witches. Why should I be afraid of witches when Jesus on my behalf bruised the head of their boss, Satan himself? It's now the subordinate that I should be afraid of. Mark 16:17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. No devil is going to cast me out. I'm the one running them out of town. So I ask people, so what makes a witch a witch? In those days when we didn't have enough knowledge, once somebody got saved and said, oh, I was a witch, then we immediately give them the microphone to talk. And then they held everybody ransom, talking and talking for 30 minutes, for 1 hour, saying all of the atrocities they committed, which instilled more fear in people's hearts. They said the accident that happened on the road to Benin, we caused it. 22 people died. We were there. People didn't see us. We were sucking people's blood. We were sucking people's blood. And then everybody would say, oh my God, those witches. Okay, hold on. If it is drinking blood that makes a witch, then I'm a witch. Every time I take the communion, I take the blood of Jesus. I drink blood in the church. Not only do I drink blood, I eat flesh. Woo! So if it is drinking blood that makes a person a witch, then I'm a witch, positive witch. And the kind of blood you drink should determine the level of your witchcraft, isn't it? So you drank the blood of chicken. You are terrorizing people around town. Get lost. I drank the blood of the sinless Son of God. Hallelujah! Yay! So talking about a curse, a statement made by a satanic agent. Proverbs 26:2 says that the curse that does not have a curse, a legal standing, will not come to rest. Numbers 23, the king Balak hired the prophet Balaam. He said, come and curse Israel for me. When Balaam got there, as he was about to begin, he saw something else. You can't curse him. He said, how can I curse him whom God has blessed? Behold, he has blessed him and I cannot reverse it. That's it. When you're a blessed man, blessed by God, your success is irreversible. That's why he said he brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Don't be afraid that when you make progress, you will regress. Then when you go up, you'll come down. We have too many ex-millionaires, ex-rich men, ex-successful people in our country. But that's not going to be your portion. Your own promotion didn't come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. God is the judge of all. He lifts up one, puts down the other. If God lifted you, no man can put you down. If man lifted you, man can bring you down. But if your blessing and promotion is from God, there's nothing anybody can do about it. We're so afraid of witches around here, so afraid of being cursed. Some people build their houses, they don't even want to paint the house on the outside. Excuse me. So you think the witch can only see paint, he can't see the real building. You're deceiving yourself. Paint it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. And thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. There's a Yoruba adage. It says, there's a Nigerian adage. It says, if when your yam sprouts, you have to use your hand to cover it, to eat it. That's so that people won't see you are being too blessed and begin to curse you and to envy you. And I love what somebody said. You're using your hand to cover it because your yam is too small. When God blesses you, you won't be able to hide it. Oh my God. Your leaf will never wither. Well, you will make progress. You will not regress. You will rise higher. You're not coming down. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. But I want you to go home with one thing. It's the word. It's revelation. It's your access to revelation. It's insight. You've got to see it inside before you see it on the outside. See, you've got to see it. I've seen things in the word. I'll never be afraid of Satan again the rest of my life. I've seen things in the word. I've seen who I am in Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yeah, not I, but Christ that lives in me. Whatever cannot be refused, Christ can't be refused me anymore. The I that should have been refused is dead. Amen. I'm dead, died with Christ on the cross. The me that should have been a failure, died. The me that should have been sick, died. The me that should have been poor is dead. So when somebody looks at me and says, oh, poor boy, you're talking about the wrong person. You're referring to the wrong person. You lied. I can't be poor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He took the poverty on the cross. What am I doing with it? Some people refer to themselves as the common man, the masses in this country. I say, excuse me, I'm not common. I can't be common. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are... A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. Now, what does peculiar mean, if not special? If not that you are in a class of your own. I'm peculiar. I'm not cheap. I'm not two for half a cent. You don't find people like us around all over the place. We're special. We're in a class of our own. Hallelujah. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall never wither. And whatever he does, that's it. I came today under the unction of the Holy Spirit to declare that cycle of failure is broken. That cycle of failure is broken. Yes, I was running that cycle before. But tonight I came as God's voice to say that the last time you failed is the last time you will fail the rest of your life. Jesus said, Peter, launch out into the deep, throw your net for a catch. Peter said, Master, we toiled all night. We got nothing. And the night was the best time to catch fish. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll throw a net. I'll see if this is going to work. When he threw that net, the fish rushed in. The same sea where they had tried all night. Expert fishermen used all the principles of the trade. They didn't work. But when the natural fails, the supernatural will take you over. Hallelujah. So, but what I'm pointing out is this, is that in this very same place where he failed, he succeeded with outstanding success. I'm saying that in the very place where you were rejected before, the people who told you no will turn around to tell you yes now. In the very place where you lost your business, you will experience a restoration. They said to Elisha, alas, my master, it was borrowed. The axle fell into the water. He said, exactly where did it fall? And tonight I came to say in the name of Jesus, in the very place where you experienced shame, God will give you fame. The reason why people mocked you will be the reason why they'll celebrate you. The curse of barrenness is broken. The power of the Holy Spirit comes on someone tonight. Mary said, how will this thing happen? Seeing I don't know a man. The angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And tonight, I declare the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on someone, rests on someone, for the purpose of conceiving a baby. As you walk out of here, you walk with the power to conceive your baby. In the name of Jesus Christ. That cause of sickness is destroyed. I rebuke every spirit of disease. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight I prophesy your healing. I speak to every organ in your body, every bone, every cell, every muscle, every tendon, every ligament, every nerve cell. Receive the life of God now and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's career is being turned around. I announce restoration. What you lost is coming back. Everything that belongs to you by destiny is coming back. Lost time is coming back. There will be divine acceleration in your life now. Lost opportunities are coming back. Lost resources are coming back. Lost relationships are coming back. Lost money is coming back. Restoration. 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 I see restoration. And then tonight I see a transfer. The blessing of Abraham is a blessing for displacement. It's a blessing that takes over territories. As the power of God comes on you, as the blessing of God comes on you tonight, a vacancy is created outside. Everyone operating by occultic power on territory that God has destined for you, I decree their removal. Their removal from your line of profession. Their removal from your line of business. Receive the anointing to take over in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy on you favor. Anyone who sees you from today, they will see a new you, an irresistible you. They will love you. They will not be able to explain why. Some will think they met you before. They never met you before. Their spirit will recognize something about you. Everyone that God ordained to be a helper to your destiny, who has forgotten you, this moment I prophesy, they will remember you. In the name of Jesus Christ. As I conclude my prayer, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I pray for everyone who says, before God, I can't be lying. My lifestyle is not right with God. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. All we have to do is to accept that he died on our behalf and to accept forgiveness from God through him. He changes everything. I pray for you that the blood that Christ shed on Calvary's cross will wash your sins away. And that God will fill you with his spirit, remove the nature of sin from your heart, put his own nature into you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Someone say powerful amen. Are you the one I've been talking about? Give Jesus a big hand clap and a shout. He deserves the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please have your seat a minute.